evening, everyone. Welcome to the InfoWars Nightly News. I'm Darren McBreen. It is Friday, February 1st, 2013. Here's a quick look at what's coming up.
Tonight on the InfoWars Nightly News, the TSA is prepared to violate our Fourth Amendment on the hallowed grounds of the Super Bowl. Then, over 1,000 Green Berets sign a letter supporting the Second Amendment. All that and more on the InfoWars Nightly News.
Well, the public school system continues to abuse our children while demonizing the Second Amendment and attempting to brainwash our children into believing that all guns are bad. Schools all over the country are punishing children for wielding toy guns. Just the other day, we reported on a 5-year-old in Massachusetts who is now facing suspension for building a small toy gun out of Legos. That's right. And I'm sure you heard about the other day, this other incident a couple weeks ago, where a 5-year-old girl got suspended for bringing a pink bubble gun to school. They said it was a terroristic threat. I'm not making this up. And they even suggested that she have a psychiatric evaluation. No, in reality, it's the school board that's psychotic. Last week, a South Philadelphia elementary student was searched in front of her classmates and threatened with arrest after she mistakenly brought a paper gun to school. And, you know, you don't even have to have a toy gun because now, in the land of the coward and the home of the slave, they consider this to be a threat. So you can't even make hand gestures into a gun. Kids are actually being suspended for that as well. I am not kidding. Truth is stranger than fiction. It happened to a 5-year-old boy in Oklahoma. And also, 3 youngsters out in Maryland were suspended from elementary school in the United States of America for playing cops and robbers. I mean, this is totally absurd and insane. This is how ridiculous the nanny state has become. And it's not just brainwashing. I mean, this is abuse. And it's far from over, folks. It's going to continue because this is their agenda. Here is a local news report from Sumter, South Carolina, where yet another kindergartner has been suspended for owning a plastic toy.
Naomi McKinney can no longer attend school at Alice Drive Elementary in Sumter. The Sumter County School District expelled her on January 7th.
The principal told me that she had a gun at school, and of course I'm freaking out. I said, well, let me see the gun. She pulls it out, and it's a little clear plastic toy gun.
Naomi is not allowed on school property or at any school-sponsored event on or off campus. She is subject to criminal charges if caught trespassing.
A weapon can be anything. A pencil is more dangerous than the toy gun she brought.
I tell you what, it makes me angry when I see that kind of nonsense. I am literally living in the Twilight Zone. And, you know, and it makes me think back to when my kids were that age, around 5 or 6 years old. They loved to go to school because they got to hang out and play with their friends all day. That's what kids do. They play, right? Sometimes they play with toy guns. And imagine being told that you're no longer welcome at your school, that you can no longer play with your friends anymore because you brought a toy gun to school. Very ridiculous. And, you know, please pray for our children, folks, because they are being targeted big time through the school system, through vaccinations, through the propaganda machine on television. Our children are at serious risk. And by the way, the name of the school in that clip you just saw, it is Alice Drive Elementary in Sumter, South Carolina. You know, maybe look them up on the internet. Give them a call. Tell them what you think about their ridiculous and absurd school policies. I bet they'd be glad to hear from you. So anyway, hey, I want to jump to a new poll that's been released by Fox News that says the vast majority of gun owners would defy a ban on firearms. You can include me with that group. If the government were to pass an unconstitutional law to ban firearms, 2/3 of Americans with guns in their household, they would defy the lawless legislation and refuse to comply. You and me both. Even the majority of Democrat and liberal gun owners would refuse to surrender their weapons, the survey revealed. Most Americans also believe that more guns in the hands of law-abiding citizens not banning guns would help reduce crime. Yeah, you think? And not only does the average American citizen believe that a gun ban is unconstitutional and horribly wrong, but military professionals also agree in our God-given right to self-defense. In fact, recently over 1,000 Green Berets signed a letter supporting our Second Amendment. The letter's intent is to reassert their oath to support and defend the Constitution, whether foreign or domestic, by protecting the Second Amendment rights of American citizens. And yes, they acknowledge that the Second Amendment is primarily a defense against government tyranny. So way to step it up, guys. Appreciate that. And, you know, don't forget that the Department of Homeland Security, they consider veterans as a serious threat. So chances are that they will eventually be coming after your guns as well. Speaking of veterans, a decorated combat veteran has been arrested and charged with 5 felonies for, get this, possession of empty AR-15 magazines. In the latest attack on the American people, a decorated war hero has been arrested and charged with 5 counts of third-degree criminal possession of a weapon for having, well, empty 30-round AR-15 magazines in his vehicle. You know, this guy was driving through Jefferson County in New York when he was randomly pulled over for a vehicle check, totally unconstitutional. Anyway, they found the empty magazines. They threw his ass in jail, and now he's being charged with all these felonies. The guy is a war hero, but as you know, New York has an assault weapons ban. And if this BS continues, you know, eventually, if this spreads throughout the rest of the country, if Obama and his treasonous criminals have their way, now, we've been reporting the recent escalation in military drills throughout the country. These are military exercises in coordination with local police. They're trying to condition the American public into getting used to the idea of armed troops on American streets. And that is a very dangerous concept indeed. Here's David Knight with a full report.
Well, within the last week, there have been 2 major drills conducted by the military in U.S. cities with the cooperation and participation of the police. Now, this is something we should all be concerned about. The founding fathers are somebody that we look up to because they're the only revolutionary leaders that did not become tyrants themselves. They understood human nature and the depravity of human nature. And they not only defeated that in others, they resisted it in themselves, and they came up with safeguards and warnings for us as to how this would happen. And one of the things that they warned us about was a standing military as well as a central bank. A standing military will eventually, and has throughout history, become a tool of oppression. It has happened in our country in the past, where the military has been used to oppress people, and that's why we have the Capaci Comitatus Act. That was to counteract American suppression in the U.S. by the American military. Well, let's take a look at some of these recent drills. January the 28th in Houston.
Helicopters and the sound of gunfire created a lot of concern this afternoon in one Houston neighborhood. This happened in southeast Houston around the old Carnegie Vanguard High School.
When you see this, you think the worst.
He told me, don't come home because it sounded like we're in a war zone. Guns shooting and helicopters flying around over the house.
And an Army major who was out here wouldn't tell us exactly what kind of training they were doing. HPD was aware of what was going on, but the fire department apparently wasn't.
Well, this is a military assault on a school. This was done with helicopters, with guns firing, with troops on the ground. The residents thought a war was breaking out. They didn't know what to think. They were warning family members not to come by. Miami, 4 days earlier, January the 24th, 2013.
Still, if you've seen one of these drills, it really is like a scene out of one of those action movies, choppers stalking the sky of downtown Miami. Again, let me tell you what all of this is that we know of. It's a joint military training exercise involving local police, also military, as someone shot some video of some of these choppers, military-style choppers, flying over 395 in downtown.
Machine gun firing hit the deck.
You heard the guy, he says, hey, it's like a movie. I guess it's supposed to be fun. A lot of people didn't think it was fun. A lot of people were very frightened by that because, again, they don't bother to tell people. But, again, what's concerning about that is notice that he says that they're training with the police. It's something that we see happening over and over again. Here's another one in Minneapolis, August 28, 2012.
If you see military helicopters flying low over Minneapolis, do not be alarmed. They are training in an urban environment. The U.S. Special Operations Command will be conducting these exercises until the beginning of September.
Yep, that's the view outside my window.
That's right. Did you hear her say, don't be alarmed? Everything is perfectly fine. It's just the American military preparing to attack U.S. cities. Of course, nothing the government ever does is bizarre or to be questioned, just like we are never to question the TSA. And if we do, we're the ones who are bizarre. Here's another one. St. Louis, July 3rd, 2012.
The military mission in North St. Louis. Heavily armored vehicles are rolling into town, and while they come in peace, there are all kinds of rumors about why they are here.
We have called Army offices in St. Louis, and we've called Army offices in Washington, D.C., trying to get information about why this training is going on here and what it's all about. Well, we haven't heard back from anybody at the Army just yet.
When you go out to other countries, when you go out of town, they don't have police officers, they have troops. And I think it kind of scares a lot of people.
Cut down on crime?
Crime, yeah, cut down on a whole lot of crime.
I think it's fantastic because this might slow down some of the crime rate.
You notice that the media takes a little bit different tact. It's not don't worry or it's fun, it's like a movie. Here they have two people that say, well, we think it'd be great because it'd be a great way to scare people and get crime down. Well, no, actually the standing military is a crime. And using the Army for police functions is a crime. Doesn't stop crime. No one who has a different view was presented in this article. Chicago, April 17, 2012.
A pretty scary scene along the Chicago River turns out to be a military training exercise.
Two choppers came zooming right up the Chicago River here, close enough almost for us to touch them. There was nothing routine that folks reported as they witnessed the jarring scene of at least three Black Hawk helicopters zooming in and around residential office towers.
That is two helicopters flying above or flying through downtown Chicago. It's 9:30 at night. They don't even have lights on. So weird.
They were lower than my buildings.
They were definitely military, and there were definitely guys with machine guns. So I thought that perhaps there was some alarm or concern.
We saw military guys in the helicopters.
They were hanging out of the choppers?
Yep.
The NATO summit host committee insists this has nothing at all to do with next month's NATO summit.
Well, notice some of the things that they said. Although you're seeing the same things here as you did in other cities, people are talking about how reckless the behavior was. One of the videos that someone shot, he says, look at this, it's night, and these guys are zigzagging and weaving through skyscrapers at a very low altitude with no lights. Something of reckless endangerment. But the thing that we're really concerned about, again, is the police and the military joining together. Take a look at this clip from Los Angeles on January the 26th, 2012.
Special Military Operation Forces, in conjunction with the LAPD, conducting some military maneuvers that had many people wondering what is going on.
When a Black Hawk helicopter and four OH-6s, or Little Birds, flew over the city. Duran says the military picks environments based on what they might be facing in the near future.
If it's a mountainous terrain, then they go to mountains. If it's a desert terrain, they use the desert.
Also, what we saw here tonight in downtown Los Angeles has been seen in Miami and in Boston.
Now, do you notice what he said? He said, if it's a mountainous terrain, they go to the mountains. If it's desert, they go to the desert. If it's the coast, they go to the coast. Why are they going to American cities? Do you have cities like that in Afghanistan or Iraq? Are they planning to invade Iran? But if they're planning to invade Iran, why are they coordinating with American police? Do they think that the Iranian police are going to coordinate with them on an attack and an invasion of Iran? No. If the U.S. military attacks American cities, they will get the cooperation of the police, or at least some of them. Now, all these things have happened within the last year. All of these reports we just showed you in all these cities, major military drills involving the police and the military working together to take over American cities, training, as the man just pointed out, for the scenario that they're expecting to execute. This has been going on for a long time. It's just accelerating. Let's take a look at this clip where we sent a team to Chicago. They saw there a National Guard training with local police and the Polish military. In just a few seconds, you're going to see some Boy Scouts in rubber jumpsuits. That's right. They're pulling the Boy Scouts in on us.
Get on the ground! Get on the ground! On your knees!
Put it on the ground! On the ground!
Put your hands on the face!
On the ground! On the ground!
The Boy Scouts are being trained to be victims.
Do not move! Cover your face with your hands! Cover your face with your hands!
And in just a few minutes, the Polish military is going to come in full combat gear. That's right.
Big exercise.
Foreign troops will come
in. Probably, 60 Boy Scouts down there with their Scoutmasters and whoever else wanted to come along. Notice they have them lying face down in the anthrax powder.
It's a very real-life situation.
Notice that they're
everyone
lying
lie down in the anthrax powder. I mean, we're going to move you.
Hostages, you are expendable. Please put your face directly in the powder.
All right. Yeah, all of a sudden Polish BOA is participating in this exercise. They didn't mention at all before that. It was just they're here to observe. They're here to observe. Hey, it's BOA. Bureau of Operational Anti-Terrorism is what I think it stands for. So I don't know. This was a hard one to swallow, watching these guys train.
Now, in Police State 4, the rise of FEMA that we produced in 2010, we have guardsmen training to find weapons caches in Arcadia, Iowa. And we have an interview with a lieutenant colonel with the National Guard there.
Held back now, it says in this article, going door to door asking if they can search homes looking for weapons. And they practice raiding the local gun shop. And this is for domestic operations. Lieutenant Colonel, I really appreciate you coming on such short notice, sir.
My pleasure. Thanks for the invitation.
You bet. I saw this article out of the Daily Times Herald in Carroll, Iowa. Have you seen that?
I sure have.
It's telling us about an urban warfare drill to be held in several towns. Can you tell us about that?
Sure. It's actually a planned training event to provide our soldiers with greater proficiency at what we call cordon and search, which is a mission that, just for a little background, we've deployed nearly 13,000 members of the Iowa National Guard in the Global War on Terror. And the vast majority of those have been in Iraq and Afghanistan. And one of the missions that they perform in Iraq and Afghanistan on multiple occasions is cordon and search, where basically you're trying to get to an area, cordon it off to make sure everything's safe, and then actually search for caches of weapons or other kinds of contraband which could harm American forces and other
countries. Like Fallujah, what we saw in Fallujah.
Mm-hmm. Correct. Exactly. So because of where we're located in Iowa, there are no active duty bases in Iowa. So we kind of have to create our own urban training environments. So the plan on this particular training event was to actually use a small town of about 450 people. The town has actually kind of adopted the unit, which is called Company A, 1st Battalion, 168th Infantry. And they were more than willing to participate in the exercise.
Well, we showed you Boy Scouts being trained to be victims. They're also training them to be aggressors. In a New York Times article in 2009, it says, Scouts to train to fight terrorists and more. Oh, what would that more be? Person who is helping them is A.J. Lowenthal, a sheriff's deputy. He says, this is about being a true-blooded American guy and girl. Now, they also had them be aggressive with SWAT team raids. They also conducted a marijuana raid. And at one point, the guy says, put him on his face and put a knee in his back. I guarantee he'll shut up. Well, that's the kind of training they're giving the Boy Scouts, not helping little ladies cross the street anymore. Just put them on their face and put a knee in their back to make them shut up. Well, we got another clip here from Police State 2000. Now, in this one, Alex interviews a police chief from San Antonio. He had to kick out Delta Force for trying to bribe city officials in order to conduct training exercises there.
As far as we know, this is the first time that local law enforcement, local police leadership has actively stood up against Bill Clinton's new military.
What were your major reservations in asking the mayor to tell them that y'all didn't want them to train here and to cease training here?
Well, a lot of things happened. First of all, the organization came into the city and never really approached the city as a whole. We've gotten together with the mayor and said we need to speak to all these different departments and request some assistance. Various groups and individuals came into the city and approached different people at different levels. The police department was contacted, the city manager's office was contacted about using city facilities, various business owners were contacted through the economic development department, the fire department was contacted by different individuals. So there was never any coordinated approach to the city of San Antonio. When we found out of that, we had some reservations, but we were willing at least to listen. But then we started finding out that discussions were happening at other different levels, and there was no communication, no coordination between that. Well, then, when we said no, then some elected officials were contacted to bring pressure to bear. And then offers were made to give money, cash money, to elected officials' charities if they could get us to change our minds. I mean, you know, as one of my deputy chiefs said, in some circles that's called bribery.
Well, we have a long history of the military and the police working together in this country, training for martial law. And Alex has pointed that out for a long time in his documentaries and on the air. What's alarming about this, however, is the increasing rate at which this is happening. As I said, we just had in the last week, we had two major cities where there were two major exercises. The one that happened just a couple of days ago in Houston, they're firing guns and attacking schools. What is happening is we're seeing the militarization of the police, and we're seeing the military used as police. That's a very frightening perspective. We've seen that before in our country's history. We've seen it in other countries. And in spite of what the people in St. Louis said that they put on the media, that is not something that reduces crime. What it does is it makes criminals out of both the military and the police. So we hope that there'll be more people like that San Antonio police chief who have the integrity and the wisdom to stand against this.
And now we're getting reports from Galveston, Texas, that the U.S. Army is conducting military drills there as well. Now, who knows? Perhaps they're concerned that perhaps the Al-Qaeda's Navy fleet might show up at the port of Galveston. You know, who knows? But anyway, according to the Galveston County Daily News, the U.S. Army is using an old jailhouse for a nighttime drill in urban warfare. And you just watch, these drills are coming to your neighborhood as well. Hell, they might even include women, because now the Pentagon has given a green light for women to start participating in combat operations. Here's David Ortiz.
The image of a woman fighting in frontline combat is rarely seen. That soon may change, however, thanks to a recent decision by U.S. Pentagon officials to allow women to fight in frontline combat. While some are heralding this decision as a victory for gender equality, others are claiming this is a victory for political correctness. Currently, about 14% of the U.S. military consist of women, but few fight in war.
Do you guys think women should be allowed to fight in frontline combat?
Well, you know, I can probably speak out of both sides of my mouth on that one. For equality for women, I think it's a good deal, and, you know, they've made such great strides. And on the other hand, I kind of worry about the guys trying to take care of the women in combat. So it's a tough decision, but I think it's the right one.
How about you?
One word answer, absolutely.
Why?
Equality. Women are the same as men. Yeah, they bear babies, but I consider them my equal. And they should be doing the same things I'm doing and the same opportunities that I have.
I think women should be allowed to do whatever they feel deep in their souls is their journey, is their consciousness, whatever tells them they can do.
I think if they're physically fit and they pass the same rigorous tests that the male combat soldiers do, and if they apply for it and they're not forced to, I think that would be okay. I wouldn't want them to personally, but it's their choice.
Well, you say you wouldn't want them to personally. Why?
I think women getting all shot up and maimed and dismembered has a different connotation to it than when men do. men are warriors forever, and back to the beginning of history, men have always fought and fought and died. And I know women do fight sometimes by flying helicopters and combat jets and so forth, but out in the trenches, I don't know. I think it's I think that's more of a man's thing.
I'm going to go with no. First of all, I have three daughters, and I know I wouldn't want my daughters to be fighting in frontline combat. And my fear would be that they would be not as strong, not as fast. They'd certainly be smart. I'm not worried about smart. I'm not worried about having intelligence or understanding the situation. I'm just worried about physical, just plain old straight physical strength in a combat situation. So that would be my concern.
I don't really think it's great for anyone to fight in combat, but if they're going to have people out there, then, you know, it doesn't bother me to have women up there as much as men.
Various European countries, as well as Australia, Canada, and Israel, allow females to fight in frontline combat. However, for the exception of Israel, few of those countries are ever at war. In the case of Israel, only about 3% of frontline soldiers are women. An Israeli military study that came out in the early 2000s showed that female soldiers tested extremely well in weaponry proficiency. However, they lagged behind significantly male soldiers in many other physical tests. As a result, they endangered many missions. Are you concerned that women can be sexually assaulted if captured by the enemy?
Oh, yes. Just as the potential for sexual violence with their colleagues. If you say one, you have to say the other. If you think, you know, your colleagues are going to be a problem, then definitely your enemies are going to be a problem.
But that's still not reason for you to prevent women, in your opinion, from fighting.
I think it's their choice.
Absolutely. They'd probably have even a worse fate in store for them than any of our regular male soldiers.
Reporting for InfoWars Nightly News, I'm David Ortiz.
Hey, Alex Jones has a special report that we are going to premiere for you right now. It's kind of some interesting celebrity news. I guess you can call it Taylor Swift's Dirty Little Secret.
Many of these individuals who have been aspartame reactors have tested themselves 5, 10, 20 times. Every time getting the same response, and then they realized that this was a legitimate cause and effect relationship.
Oh, hey guys, it's Taylor. I wanted to share some news with you because we're actually going to be making it official with one of the great loves of my life.
Well, this might be the largest health hazard ever to hit the food industry. We've got numerous health officials, tons of independent studies have warned us of the very serious and documented side effects of aspartame.
Oh, hey guys, it's Taylor. Hey guys. We're actually going to be making it official with one of the great loves of my life. Loves of my life. Diet. Loves Diet Coke.
Pop star Taylor Swift is the latest in a long line of celebrities peddling death upon the people of the United States and the world. She's saying the love of her life is Diet Coke. Diet Coke, of course, has aspartame in it, which is in tens of thousands of products now, but actually in 1981, when it got approved, was first in Coke. You remember the songs, Coke is it, Coke is it. It was the greatest thing ever. Of course, they didn't tell you that three separate times in the decade before, Searle, a division of Monsanto, had tried to get the toxic additive approved because in all the previous studies, it had killed the lab animals when it was mixed in with their food. But globalist hatchet man Donald Rumsfeld was able to get the FDA to approve it when previous administrations had failed. The aspartame molecule breaks down, once it gets into the stomach, into wood alcohol and, of course, good old formaldehyde. And look how good formaldehyde is for corpses. Now, the problem with aspartame is it's a cumulative poison, so it doesn't kill you right away. And that's why these companies like Coke are able to get away with this. They know it's causing brain tumors. They know it's causing macular degeneration. They know it's been linked over and over again to all these problems. It's also important to note that aspartame was discovered by a Pentagon study back in the 1960s where they were trying to produce genetically engineered E. coli bacteria that could actually eat toxic waste and process it. And we believe from our research, aspartame is actually the first genetically modified bacteria producing a so-called food product in history. It is a very old genetically modified organism. And so everyone drinking Diet Coke, everyone chewing different even sugar gums that have it added to it, the thousands of products out there, you are eating the feces of a genetically modified bacteria. So in essence, Taylor Swift is telling us she loves genetically modified bacteria poop.
I wanted to share some news with you because we're actually going to be making it official with one of the great loves of my life, Diet Coke.
But they are able to continue to put this in their products and thousands of other products because the general public is still ignorant to a great extent because the mainstream media refuses to report on this, and they have nice, attractive, friendly young ladies like Taylor Swift out there pitching this deadly additive. And that's why we're cutting this video, so that fans of Taylor Swift, who are going to run out and buy Diet Coke now because of her, understand the real dangers. And so Taylor Swift has a chance to go public and say, look, you can have the money back. I don't want to be any part of pushing this deadly chemical. So I want to be clear. The fact that aspartame is absolutely deadly is Coke's dirty little secret. And the thousands of other companies that put it in their products and push it on the public. We hope that Taylor Swift isn't aware of this and that this isn't her dirty little secret. But undoubtedly, she's going to end up seeing this video. Friends, family, people that know her, make sure she sees it. Taylor, no amount of money in the world is worth hurting people. We understand Donald Rumsfeld and the eugenicist love spiking our food and water supply with deadly chemicals to reduce our fertility and lower population. But you, I know, don't want to be involved in this, and no amount of money is worth your soul.
Diet Coke, one of the great loves of my life.
Do you think that aspartame should be on the market today?
No.
Why not?
Because it hasn't been demonstrated to be safe.
The FDA looked at the research and in 1975 put aspartame's approval on hold. It set up an independent panel of doctors to study aspartame. In 1980, that public board of inquiry unanimously ruled aspartame should not go on the market.
The nuclear industry has tried three times in the last decade, and the Wall Street Journal is reporting they're finally very close to getting this done, to take the nuclear waste from their plants and have it mixed in with metal parts implanted in your body, in furniture, and even in utensils, knives, forks, and spoons that you use. This is incredible. If you go back to the 1950s, they had all of the sodium fluoride and its derivatives piling up from aluminum manufacturing and also from the mining of phosphate for fertilizer. And instead of storing the toxic waste, they made it a product and got government to mandate it being added to the water supply. It just so happens to lower IQ and increase bone cancer massively, and also has been connected to calcifying the pineal gland, which is associated with spiritual experiences and higher intelligence and higher brainwaves. But regardless, they've been putting that in the water since the 1950s, and now they're saying, hey, the suckers will take this. How about uranium? How about plutonium? How about dozens and dozens of other deadly isotopes? It's kind of like the communist Chinese 3 or 4 years ago executed company executives that knowingly put plastic in the baby formula, melamine. Over here, the FDA just came out and said, don't worry about it in the formula. It's not bad for you. Doesn't matter if it's been absolutely connected to organ failure and kidney failure. Hey, it's good for you. Plastic in the milk's good for you. And aspartame's good for you. Hell, folks, go get antifreeze. Give it to your dog and cat. I mean, it's going to kill them, but if I just say it's trendy and liberal, it's cool. I'm just going to do what the government tells me and wave a magic wand over this juicy fruit and double mint. Regular sugar gum that for the last 5 years, because I used to chew it before they added aspartame to it, well, I'll just wave this magic wand over it, and now it's totally safe to chew. But let me be serious with you, ladies and gentlemen. The truth is, they know the public's resisting them adding this chemical to our food, not just to candies and chewable gums. And that's why they're now putting it in sugar gum. The truth is, it's a magic wand of death, where the global eugenicists add this stuff to our entire food chain to dumb us down, reduce our fertility, and reduce our life expectancy. That's the real magic wand that we're talking about here. That's why the White House science czar wrote Eco-Science in the 70s, where he talked about spiking our water with things like fluoride to reduce our fertility. Sure, all the studies show aspartame is deadly, rots your eyes, rots your organs, gives you cancer, diabetes. Never mind all that, because the angel of death says it's safe. You just wave the magic wand, and then you die, and everything's okay. This is a life and death situation. There is no magic wand that you can wave and make these deadly chemicals and additives safe for you and your family. And forget making it safe. These things are deadly. And all of them have been authorized by our government and other governments because they're what they call soft kill, slow kill. This is a tool of social control. We are being manipulated, as Bertrand Russell wrote more than 60 years ago, by additives in the food and water supply to make us sheepish or like mutton. This is a program of control against our population. And I just covered three things that are deadly. There are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds on record. We've covered melamine briefly, aspartame, and fluoride. But there is a light at the end of the tunnel. PepsiCo is under massive heat right now from its shareholders over, as crazy as it sounds, it turned out to be true, using fetal tissue out of China as a flavor enhancer in their products. And a teenager out of Mississippi just spent the last year getting more than 200,000 signatures to get them to remove a toxic chemical from Gatorade and several other fruit juice tasting products. Bromine, which has been directly connected to all sorts of cancer and other health problems, as well as mental problems, is now going to be removed out of not just Gatorade, but several of PepsiCo's other products. So the good news is, when you get involved and you speak up and you say no, these monsters will back off. We are under full-out assault, and the globalists are turning up the ambient sound. 50 years ago, it was on 1. Now it's up to 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, as they see how much we'll take, how much we'll put up with. What will it take for us to wake up and notice we're being poisoned? They're getting ready to go all the way up to 10, ladies and gentlemen. It's time to wake up. This is the biggest secret, how they're poisoning our food and water. Please get this video out to everyone you know. Alex Jones signing off for InfoWars.com, PrisonPlanet.tv, and InfoWars Nightly News. If you're watching this transmission, remember, you are the resistance.
Wow, a lot of information and food for thought, and I never would have imagined Taylor Swift to be sponsored by bacteria poop. So, hey, and more distracting news. You've probably heard by now that Beyonce will be performing this Sunday during the Super Bowl. And, you know, who knows what kind of performance. I mean, she's got to have some kind of Illuminati, Satan ritual going on there. But we'll be waiting to see that. But also performing at the Super Bowl this weekend will be the children of Sandy Hook Elementary School. More conditioning of the public to give up their firearms. And those of you attending the show live can expect a good grope down by the TSA before entering the stadium, as the Department of Homeland Security naturally wants the TSA there to further condition the public to, you know, be subjected to unlawful searches and invasive pat-downs. And what will everybody be talking about Monday after the big game? Well, no doubt the big question on everyone's mind is going to be, was Beyonce lip-syncing during the performance? Because inquiring minds will want to know.
Hey, that's going to do it for the first half of our broadcast. The InfoWars Nightly News will be right back. And when we return, I will be joined by Pastor Stephen Anderson. You know the guy. He's the one that put up all those YouTube videos where he challenges the unconstitutional checkpoints, and he does a damn good job at it as well. So also, he is featured in a new hard-hitting documentary that challenges the modern-day Christian evangelical belief that Christians are going to suddenly disappear in the pre-tribulation rapture. So that is coming up. You don't want to miss it. Pastor Stephen Anderson, when we return, right after this.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Fellow freedom lovers, Alex Jones here with the biggest contest announcement we've ever made. This is so incredibly exciting. We are launching Operation Paul Revere. What did Paul Revere do? He rode through the countryside in New England saying, to arms, the redcoats are coming, oneth by land, toeth by sea. And all that evil men and tyrants need to flourish is that good men and women do nothing. Let me officially announce Operation Paul Revere, a $100,000 cash first place winner to be judged by yours truly, Alex Jones. The film can be 3 minutes. It can be up to 2 hours. It can be fiction, nonfiction, documentary, drama. It's got to promote liberty and freedom and expose tyranny and oppression. And it's not just people in the U.S. that can enter. It's folks worldwide. The rules, the details are at Infowars.com/contest. You have to read the rules and officially sign up for this because it's a $100,000 prize, first place, $10,000 second place, $5,000 third place. But just as I did last year with a reporter contest, we are going to crowdsource from the pool of incredible talent out there and hire several official crews to be directors and writers and camera people in InfoWars.com produced major films and documentaries that will be put in movie theaters and on cable. And I've got all the connections to get it done. Together, we're going to really give the New World Order hell. This is extremely exciting. I've made over 20 films. One of them alone has reached more than 40 million people on YouTube and Google Video. The Obama Deception, Endgame, Fall of the Republic, Road to Tyranny. Films are the most effective thing I do, but they're very time-consuming. And so I want to turn the power of we the people loose here. And your art, your research, your ideas are unstoppable. We're officially kicking the contest off this Friday. And you've got a little more than 3 months until April 30th. Just a little more than 3 months to produce your documentary or your film and get it out. And it will absolutely reach tens of millions of people. Our normal contest get about 500 entries. That's what $10,000 prize is. This is 10 times that. 100,000 for first place. That's one of the biggest contests out there. In fact, it's the biggest next to Doritos that has $100,000. This is huge, ladies and gentlemen. $115,000 in cash prizes and a shot to have your film produced and financed by InfoWars.com. Edit it, upload it to YouTube and one other alternate public video site, and send your entry to Paul Revere at InfoWars.com. The animating contest of liberty that Thomas Jefferson talked about is happening right now. The modern battlefield is in the mind more than ever. We use truth. The globalists use lies and deception. The corruption and oppression and high-tech police state is in our face. But the controllers are scared. They intended to use the internet to dominate and control humanity and surveil us. But we've turned their system against them. This is a historic crossroads that we have reached. And I ask you to ride in the year 2013, just as one of the founders of this republic did back in 1775. I'm calling you to arms in the info war because the pen and the video camera is mightier than the sword. Let's go in there and rescue humanity and awaken them and set brush fires in the minds of men and women everywhere. Be part of this contest. You've got 3 months. Put your hat in the ring. Be part of the solution to the corruption and oppression. Be part of the resistance to tyranny. We're looking for the Paul Reveres that will drive a stake through the New World Order's wicked heart. ProPure is Introducing Pro One. All of your filtration in one system, portable, on the go. This is the Pro One by ProPure. You wanted it, you got it. No more do you have two or three filters to just reduce sodium fluoride. You have a system that cuts out the sodium fluoride and up to 95% of hydrofluorosilicic acid. Advanced manufacturing technology combines silver impregnated white ceramic with new Aquametics advanced media for removal of fluoride and other heavy metals, all in one filter element. It cuts out the acid derivative of fluoride. It is the only one that does it. And out of the gates, we have it discounted at 10% off with promo code WATER. This is the only system that in one unit helps reduce or remove pesticides, herbicides, chloramines, ammonia, and chlorine, hydrofluorosilicic acid, the most common form of fluoride not covered by other fluoride filter brands, and sodium hexafluorosilicate. This is a revolution against the tyrants. They love putting the toxic acid base of fluoride into your water. They love the fact that it's an adjuvant supercharging the trace Prozac in the water and the hormones and the other chemicals. By cutting out fluoride, you cut out the turbocharger in all the poison being artificially introduced into your body. This is what I use. It's a win-win. You get a high-quality product at the lowest price. You support the InfoWar. Get your ProPure with the new Pro One filter today at InfoWarsStore.com or by calling 888-253-3139. Alex Jones here with a message that could revolutionize health in this country. Going back about a year and a half ago, I began to learn about the incredible health effects of longevity products. Aaron Dykes lost 92 pounds. We're going to show you some before and afters. Aaron, break down what happened, your story.
I've worked really hard with diet and exercise to try to lose weight, but I just didn't get the results. It just didn't happen. Then I saw what you were doing with InfoWarsTeam.com. I wasn't even trying to lose weight, but I got it because I wanted to feel better energy. I wanted that nutrition. Didn't even understand how that could kickstart my own weight loss goals. But the products did that for me. I found myself suddenly losing weight, more energetic, wanting to exercise, wanting to eat the right foods.
And they don't even advertise it as weight loss. I want to challenge our radio listeners to go to InfoWarsTeam.com. Sign up as a distributor and get wholesale pricing discounts at InfoWarsTeam.com.
Our next guest is no stranger to the InfoWar. Pastor Steven Anderson, as you may recall, made headlines for his standoffs with police and Border Patrol and is known for his refusal to comply with unconstitutional checkpoints. He's a stand-up guy, and he stands up for his rights. And now he is featured in a new hard-hitting documentary that challenges the modern-day evangelical belief that Christians will be removed from earth before the Great Tribulation. The doctrine known as the pre-tribulation rapture teaches that Jesus may return at any moment and that there will be no signs of his coming. As a result of this deception, most Christians are completely unprepared for what the Bible has warned us is coming. Satan is indeed working behind the scenes to set up a one-world government and a one-world religion in preparation for the Antichrist. And Pastor Steven Anderson, armed with the King James Bible, says he can prove that the rapture will take place after the tribulation.
After the tribulation, let no man deceive you. Whether you are a Christian or not, I personally am, it's important to understand that over 1.5 billion people worldwide call themselves one form of Christian denomination or another. And
the thought processes of Christians in the last 100 years have been dominated by the clearly false doctrine that there is a pre-Antichrist, pre-tribulation rapture. The Bible, a five-year-old can read it, is clear in the book of Revelations that the dead in Christ are raised and then taken into the heavens, and then the living after that, after the devil's been bound, after all that happens. And this film breaks that down. Now, whether you believe the Bible is a fairy tale or not, you need to understand that the pre-tribulation rapture fable has been used to make Christians stand down and not be politically involved. That's why Christians previously were the people standing up against corruption, standing up against King George, or then later standing up against slavery in England and then Europe and then the United States. It's been real Christians over and over again who stood up against Roman slavery 2,000 years ago and were thrown to the lions. And that's another subject I want to raise that goes well with this film, available at InfoWarsStore.com, that is key to give to your Christian friends and to give to your pastor, even if you're not a Christian. If you want to get people politically motivated, they need to understand that it's biblical to stand up to evil. Romans 13, The True Meaning of Submission, by Timothy Baldwin and his father, Chuck Baldwin, who, of course, was the Constitution Party candidate a few years ago and really got the word out in a great way. This short little book documents that it's completely biblical to stand up against tyranny. Both the book and the film are available out of the gates discounted at InfoWarsStore.com, so you support both of these ministries, and you also support InfoWars.com and our news gathering operation. So visit InfoWarsStore or InfoWarsShop.com, and you can order the film and the book today to wake up your Christian friends and family, and for others that want to know why Christians, mainline Christians, are always saying we should submit to tyranny, we should give up our guns, we should go to the FEMA camp. Why are the Christians of today completely the opposite of Christians in ancient Rome or the Christians that founded this country? It's because they're following the doctrine of the Rockefeller Foundation and others. And it's all exposed in this new film and in the book, Romans 13. All available at InfoWarsStore.com or InfoWarsShop.com or by calling toll-free 888-253-3139. I hope you get it and share it with everyone. And as always, thank you for your support.
Tuesday morning, the 11th of September, 2001.
Al, it is such a pretty morning, isn't it?
Perfect fall morning.
On September 11th, 2001, the world changed. The land of the free has now become the land of the enslaved. The people of our once glorious United States have traded their liberty for security. But has it all happened by design?
December 7th, 1941, a date which will live in infamy. The United States of America was suddenly and deliberately attacked.
Many questions linger about the events of that day of infamy. But one thing we know for certain, the surprise attack on Pearl Harbor set in motion a course of events that would eventually lead us to a one-world government.
Japan began this war in treachery. We shall end it in victory.
In the aftermath of World War II, the United Nations was created, and the path toward a one-world government accelerated. Each war brings us one step closer to what the Bible calls the end of the world. Checkpoints are being set up everywhere. The police state is tightening its grip on the people of the United States. And to those who understand biblical prophecy, what comes next will not be a surprise. At some time in the future, the King James Bible states that everyone on the planet will be required to take a mark in order to buy or sell. As our current economic system collapses and as technology expands, cash is becoming a thing of the past. The reality of a cashless society is not far off. In fact, it's already being implemented. Despite denial by many religious leaders, evil men are working around the clock to bring in a new world order. We can see the end rapidly approaching and the stage being set for the emergence of the Antichrist. We can hear the voices of those who are subverting our U.S. Constitution and promoting this global government system.
A new world order.
And with all this right around the corner, this film is more important than ever. Satan is working behind the scenes to set up a one-world government and a one-world religion in preparation for the Antichrist. He has also deceived modern evangelical Christians into believing that they will be removed from this earth before the Great Tribulation takes place. This doctrine, known as the pre-tribulation rapture, teaches that Christ may return at any moment and that there will be no signs of his coming. As a result of this deception, most Christians are completely unprepared for what the Bible has warned us is coming. Although the scriptures clearly state in Matthew 24 and elsewhere that the rapture will take place after the tribulation, big name preachers, Bible colleges, and popular films such as Left Behind have taught the masses to expect that the rapture may occur at any moment. But Left Behind is a work of fiction. Christians today are not being warned about the events they will face in the Great Tribulation. To learn the truth about the rapture, we must look within the pages of the Bible itself.
And that was the trailer for After the Tribulation. The DVD is available now at InfoWarsShop.com. And with us now in studio is Pastor Stephen Anderson, who is prominently featured throughout the film. Pastor Anderson, it's good to have you with us today.
Yeah, it's great to be here, Darren. Thanks for having me.
Tell us more about the film. Give us like a brief synopsis of it, and then also how you got involved in making it.
Sure. Well, basically the film does two major things. Number one, it completely demolishes the fraud that is the pre-trib rapture. You know, this lie that says that Jesus Christ can come back at any moment and that we're going to be taken out of here before the Antichrist, before the global government. So about half the movie is spent just completely destroying that idea. Just a ton of scripture is used to prove that false. And then the other half of the movie pretty much just explains how all of this is going to play out. It explains the events of the tribulation. It goes into the cashless society. It goes into the implantable chips, the surveillance system, the checkpoints. And it just kind of puts it in a real world focus, taking things from the Bible that are being prophesied and relating them to things that we see actually happening. And, you know, we don't know when this is going to happen. This could happen 100 years from now. But I think that based on the technology and the trends, this could very likely happen in our lifetime or in the very near future.
Well, I would imagine that this film is creating some waves within the Christian community because, you know, most every Christian I know, they believe in the pre-tribulation rapture fairy tale, if you will. It's not biblical. It's a total fraud. I think this film does a great job in exposing all that, but what kind of feedback or what kind of response have you gotten so far from the Christian community?
Well, here's the feedback I'm getting. From the people in the pew, from Joe Church member, they love it. Yeah. And pretty much 99% of them are watching it and instantly believing it because the scriptures are so clear. The pastors, on the other hand, most of them just don't want to say anything about it. They don't want to talk about it. You know, and honestly, convincing the church members is a lot easier than convincing the pastors. And here's why. The pastors have a lot to lose if they get on board with the truth of this film. Because of the fact that the pre-tribulation rapture is the popular doctrine, and they're going to lose friends. They're not going to be accepted in their preaching fellowships anymore. They're not going to be getting the funding in many cases that they were getting because you have to be pre-trib to be in the club. And I'll tell you, it's that way by design. There's a satanic plan, you know, to put out this lie of the pre-tribulation rapture so that Christians will be totally caught off guard.
Well, that's what I'm thinking, because this mostly is accepted by the mega churches, if you will, as a way to fill seats in the church house, to sell their books and to sell their DVDs and that sort of thing. So you think that there's a more of a demonic type of deception going on here, that this is a way to help pave the way for the Antichrist.
Absolutely, because the Antichrist, the Bible's clear, the Antichrist is claiming to be God. He's claiming to be the second coming of Jesus Christ. So what better way to deceive than to get everybody believing that Jesus Christ is going to return at any moment, which is what they teach. They say Christ could come today. Well, this doctrine that says Jesus can come back at any moment, when in reality we know from the Bible that first there's an imposter coming, the Antichrist. Well, who's the Antichrist claiming to be? Jesus. Who are they saying is coming at any moment? Jesus.
Okay, how are we going to recognize the Antichrist when he comes? I mean, how are we going to recognize that he's here?
Well, the Antichrist is going to be a man who is going to be put in power of a one world government, and he's going to be worshipped by all religions. He's going to basically be the head of a one world religion. The Jews are going to say this is the Messiah. That, you know, apostate Christianity is going to say, hey, this is the second coming of Christ. The Muslims today are looking for a messianic figure, the Imam Mahdi. You know, when you see a guy who's embraced by all religions, he's bringing all religions together, he's bringing all nations together and uniting them and bringing peace at the expense of the truths of the Bible, that's who the Antichrist is. Now, when Jesus Christ comes back, he's going to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And, you know, when Jesus Christ was on this earth the first time, he caused division amongst the people. Everywhere he went, he caused division. Mm-hmm. Okay. So when you see a guy that says, hey, Christianity, Islam, Hinduism, all you need to unite, that is not the message of the Bible. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Christianity is a religion that says there's one way to heaven, and that's through Jesus.
And right now, we're already seeing the trends towards a cashless society and a one-world government. Much of the prophecies of the Bible are being fulfilled. You know, the technology is in place where the Mark of the Beast system is being developed, and it's being developed by our leaders, folks, not the Muslims.
Right.
And you'd think if anyone would be awake right now, it would be the Christian community, but sadly, they're asleep at the wheel. You know,
exactly,
why is that?
Right. Yeah. And you know, it's interesting that you use the word awake, because that's exactly the word that the Bible uses. Because you see, in the Bible, when, he uses the term thief in the night, and you know, we hear that term a lot. Those who believe in a pre-trib rapture say, you know, Jesus coming as a thief in the night. Folks, he could come today. But they fail to read the next verse, because right after he talks about Jesus coming as a thief in the night in 1 Thessalonians 5, he says in verse 4, but ye, brethren, are not in darkness that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of the light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. So the Bible says that Jesus Christ coming will be as a thief in the night, to those who are asleep, to those who don't know what the Bible says. They're in darkness. They don't have this knowledge. But God is telling us we don't have to be in darkness. We've got the Bible. We've got all the information right in front of us. We're not going to be surprised when this happens. Why would it come upon us as a thief in the night when the Bible has already told us everything that's going to happen step by step? We're not going to be shocked. But the world at large that doesn't know the Bible, Christians who've been deceived by a pre-trib rapture, when it doesn't materialize, they're going to be confused because they're in darkness as to the real events that are coming. And so those who are awake, according to this scripture, are the ones who understand and know the order of events that's coming. Those that are asleep are people who aren't paying attention because they think, oh, there's nothing to watch for. People just think that they're going to be living their lives and one day they're going to disappear. Well, you know, not much to watch for there.
And one way they're manipulated is through books and television and movies. In fact, we're going to take a look at a clip from the documentary right now. I thought this was really interesting. This is how the majority of modern-day Christians are exposed to the pre-tribulation rapture. Let's take a look.
Fictionalizations about the imminent rapture also reached the 70s generation through the films of Don Thompson.
Suddenly and without warning, literally thousands, perhaps millions of people just disappeared. A few eyewitness accounts of these disappearances have not been clear, but one thing is certainly sure. Millions who were living on this earth last night are not here this morning.
Thompson's trilogy of thrillers played a significant role in indoctrinating a new generation of teens. Since its premiere, more than 300 million have seen A Thief in the Night. In 1995, Tim Dale House published Tim LaHaye's and Jerry Jenkins' apocalyptic novel, Left Behind.
And this is a fictional series that depicts everybody disappearing and nobody knows where they are. Cars are crashing into each other, airplanes are crashing because the pilot's gone. And this dramatic presentation of the pre-tribulation rapture has become a part of the American culture, and people just accept it to be true. And it's a stupid movie.
Left Behind would go on to sell 63 million copies worldwide, spawn a series of 16 books, as well as three movie adaptations to date. But Left Behind is a work of fiction. To learn the truth about the rapture, we must look within the pages of the Bible itself.
And that was a scene from After the Tribulation. We're here with Pastor Stephen Anderson, who's our guest today. Break down the tribulation doctrine for us. Tell us what it's all about.
Well, here's what it's all about. Those who believe in a pre-tribulation rapture, they believe that Jesus Christ can come at any moment.
Gotcha.
Well, you ask them, where is that found in the Bible? Show me that in the Bible, because it's something that they just take for granted. Well, this is what they'll bring up. Matthew 24:36. The Bible reads, "But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only." So they'll say, see right there, the Bible says no man knoweth the day or the hour. That means it can happen at any moment, okay? But what they fail to recognize, that in the exact same chapter, Matthew 24, if you go back up to verse 29, it says, immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory, and he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. So right there in Matthew 24:29-31, the Bible very clearly states that the tribulation is going to happen first. Then after that, the sun and moon are darkened, Jesus Christ comes in the clouds, the trumpet sounds, he gathers the elect, meaning he gathers the saved. It says it takes place after the tribulation. Then a couple verses down in verse 36, he says, but of that day and hour knoweth no man. So do we know the day or the hour? No. But we do know one thing, it's after the tribulation.
It's after the tribulation.
Exactly.
It's clearly in the Bible. So where's everybody getting this? I mean, they're not reading the Bible.
They're not reading the Bible. They're just listening to preaching. See, most Christians, they show up at church and listen to preaching, but they don't read the Bible on their own throughout the week. Mm-hmm. And so it's very easy for a preacher to quote verse 36 of Matthew 24 all by itself. Just verse 36 and say, no man knoweth the day or the hour. It could be today. But what he failed to show them was verse 29. Which said it's after the tribulation. Now, is it possible for something to be after the tribulation, but yet we still don't know the day or the hour? Of course. We don't know what year this is going to be. This could be 100 years from now. This could be 5 years from now. We don't know the day. We don't know which month it's going to be in. We don't know the hour of the day. But we do know it's after the tribulation because Jesus told us that. And so the pre-tribulation rapture is not based on any scripture. There's no scripture that says before the tribulation. It only says after the tribulation.
Well, and if we are here during that time, I mean, this could be a dark hour for Christians. I mean, it's not going to be a picnic.
Well, it's going to be a dark hour for everybody, but it's especially going to be a dark hour toward the end for Christians because, you know, the events of the tribulation, obviously, it all starts out with warfare on a global scale, which leads to famines. There's going to be disease. There's going to be natural disasters. But then when the real great tribulation begins, it's characterized by Christians being killed for the cause of Christ, being beheaded, because frankly, they are not going to get on board with the Antichrist's world government, and they're not going to get on board with a one world religion. I mean, true Bible believing Christians they're not going to worship the Antichrist. They're not going to be deceived by him.
And you better have a strong relationship with God, because now's the time to strengthen your relationship with God, because chances are, in the not so distant future, we might need all the strength we can get.
Exactly. And the whole purpose of this movie is to warn.
Yeah, sure.
The purpose of the movie is a warning to Christians. Look, your pastor's not warning you about this, but these are the events that Jesus has told us about. And Jesus said it best in John 16:33. He said, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation."
Sure.
"But be of good cheer. I've overcome the world.
The world. And I was just going to say, you know, tell us the good news. I mean, for us believers, because there is a light at the end of the tunnel.
Absolutely. And so this isn't just an all doom and gloom message, but Jesus clearly said, be thou faithful unto death, and I'll give thee a crown of life. Look, the Christian life is about suffering. Jesus Christ said, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. The Bible says, for unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. You know, the Christian life is a life where we do suffer and go through trials and tribulations.
Absolutely.
But you know what? At the end of the day, we're on the winning side. We know how the book ends. You know, the Antichrist, the devil, all of them are going to end up in the pit of hell for all eternity. You know, this is not just a doom and gloom message. He said, yeah, in the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. And so that's a positive message.
Well, I'm into that. And look, we're almost out of time. I want to get your closing comments, but also tell us why it's more important now than ever to get this information out to people.
Well, because we're closer to the end. And the closer we get, the more important this becomes. Now, the sad thing is, the closer we get, it seems like pastors are preaching on this subject less and less. Here's why. When you believe in the pre-tribulation rapture, the scriptures don't add up. Pastors go to preach on this subject, they look at the scriptures and they say, boy, this isn't adding up. But they can't go against the pre-tribulation rapture or they're going to lose everything. They're going to lose all their friends, their fellowship, and so forth. And so what a lot of pastors are choosing to do right now is to just not talk about this subject one way or the other. They just don't want to talk about the rapture or the tribulation or the end times because they can either preach the pre-trib rapture, which I think deep down they know is a lie, or if they come out with the truth, it's a high cost. So they're just not talking about it. And consequently, at the most important time, when we should be hearing about this the most, they're not talking about it. That's why this film is important, folks. This is what you're not going to hear in church. This is what your pastor's not telling you. You need to watch after the tribulation and get informed so that you're not in darkness. This will wake you up. And listen, your Christian friend that doesn't want to listen when you try to warn him about the New World Order, global government, this film is the ultimate tool to wake up Christians to the New World Order.
Well, I'm into that, and fantastic job on the documentary. I think millions of people are going to end up seeing this. I think I think it's that good, and it couldn't come at a better time. So, Pastor Stephen Anderson, thanks for coming out today.
Hey,
it's
God
good
bless
to have you.
Thanks.
All right, thank you. All right, once again, the DVD is After the Tribulation. You can pick up a copy right now at InfoWars.com or InfoWarsShop.com. I highly recommend that you pass this information along to your family, your friends, your church members. Give a copy to your pastor, because I'd like to think that most of the church leaders in our country are really good people, and they will recognize truth when they see it. Well, one way to find out, see what they think of After the Tribulation. Hey, that's going to do it for tonight's broadcast. The InfoWars Nightly News will return, Lord willing, next Monday through Friday, 7 o'clock p.m. Central Time, Texas time, that is. Until then, have a blessed weekend, and we'll see you back right here on Monday. Good night.